This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Phone number that you should inscribe on a stone tablet and, you know, put it near your phone is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. It's the Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. In the studio, it's myself, the captain, joining me.
And nobody.
We've been talking about this 25-year-old. His name was Chase Allen. Cops put more than 12 bullets in him because he was driving around with either an illegitimate license plate or no license plate at all. The police can't decide which it was, apparently.
He lacked permission.
Yeah.
Standing, if you will.
Just to finish this up before we get to your calls and thoughts, there's only a couple of more sentences here. Local court records show no recent criminal history for Allen, but according to probable cause statement on September 21st, 2022, Allen voluntarily showed up at a Davis County Justice Court hearing for a woman who had been charged with a traffic violation. During the hearing, Allen became disruptive and noncompliant. These are quotes, by the way, and began to resist officers, the document states. He refused to comply when he was told to leave the courtroom. So he was an activist. He was going to other people's trials and standing up for them. A Davis County Sheriff's Office deputy wrote that reasonable force was used to arrest Allen and that he was taken to the Davis County Jail. The probable cause statement goes on to say that while he was being booked, officers found Allen had a small plastic slide credit card device that contained several lock-picking items. I've carried one of these in the past. It's basically a pocket knife that unfolds. It's about the size of a credit card, so it fits nicely in your wallet. And I'm a practical dude. I like to carry a pocket knife. I used to carry really nice ones until the TSA showed up on the scene, and now I just carry cheap disposable ones, so if I ever forget that one's in my pocket, I can just toss it in the dumpster and I'm only out a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
But
a wise plan.
Yeah. It only took losing one really nice knife to government for me to make that switch. Other people takes a bit longer. At any rate, the probable cause statement goes on to say that while he was being booked... Now, they found the knife. Allen matched the description of an individual with warrants, but he refused several requests to identify himself. Again, you're not necessarily required to identify yourself, depending on what your laws say in your local jurisdiction. When asked to stop interrupting, Allen responded that deputies had no authority over him, using an expletive, the document states.
An expletive?
Like, cops never use expletives. Like, oh my gosh! Like, that's going to make you, like, condemn this guy. He used an expletive against the police! Oh my gosh!
Quick, somebody panic.
Allen was released on his own recognizance, agreeing to appear at a future court proceeding and not to commit any crimes. There's no record of charges being filed against Allen, period. That's the end of the statement. There is no record of charges being filed against Allen.
Hmm.
So he has no prior criminal record, is what they're saying. That's a long way for them to say that. The police shooting Wednesday marked the fourth police shooting in Utah so far this year. And come on, it's Utah.
Yeah.
According to a database maintained by the Salt Lake Tribune, the third and otherwise most recent police shooting in Utah happened on January 29th in Iron County, when authorities shot and wounded a reportedly suicidal woman who police said was armed inside a van and refused to exit.
That's always amazing when they come across somebody who's suicidal and you know, they kill them so to stop them from killing themselves. I guess because, you know, being killed by police isn't a mortal sin, so maybe they were saving her soul.
So they shot and wounded a suicidal woman, and then she was later charged with several felonies. So, like, yeah, way to go.
After they killed her, they charged?
Well, they don't say she was killed. They said when authorities shot and wounded her, the reportedly suicidal woman, who police say was armed inside a van and refused to exit, she was later charged with several felonies. Yeah, way to help a person out. You show up to what, right? Then you shoot them. Okay, so maybe you prevented a suicide. Maybe you prevented, you know, somebody from doing something they actually wanted to do. Now you're going to charge them? Now you're going to sick the state on them? Like a rabid dog?
No.
Yeah, we're going to draw blood from you now. Oh, you think you can kill yourself in front of us? No.
That's destruction of government property.
That's our job. You're taking our job.
They took our jobs.
Exactly. Let's go to the phones for your calls and thoughts. We have Rob in Vermont. Rob, what's on your mind?
So I was listening to the previous caller there, and, you know, and it's, I couldn't believe what he was saying.
Was it Kevin, I'm a conservative guy? Is that the guy?
It sounded like to me like he was saying that a crime had been committed, but it shouldn't be punished in so many words.
Yeah.
You know, and my feeling is the only way, in my opinion, to lower down these police beatings and, you know, innocent shootings is to, you know, do away with qualified immunity. You know, these unions that back up these cops, they got blood on their hands, too.
Oh, yeah.
Every time when the police officer fires one of them weapons.
Yeah.
You know, they're just as guilty.
Yep.
You know, do away with qualified immunity, and you'll see a lot of these police shootings go away.
Yeah. They need to do away with qualified immunity and also settlements when they do get out of hand and the courts actually find that those settlements should be paid out of the police pension fund, you know.
Exactly.
And you'll see a stop to that when they can't stick the taxpayer with the bill.
And I think that what also should happen is that, you know, police officers, they have their own personnel files and all other files. And those files should be, you know, graded on their performance.
Yep.
As to whether they should even have draw any pension or should even be a police officer.
You know,
and that should be available to the public.
Yeah, and the fact that already doesn't exist should tell everybody who's paying any attention all they need to know. The organization known, the organization type known, colloquially, I don't know if that's the right word, but known as government, the thugs, the despots, the parasites, the thieves, the lunatics that make up this organization type, have no incentive to do anything that you think would be looked at as the right thing. The only incentive they have is to enforce the law. Whatever politicians decide laws, and in some cases not even politicians, judges can sometimes create laws. It's called legislating from the bench. And if you're a smart person, you'll look that up and see what that's all about. But it can happen where something happens in a courtroom, and all of a sudden, whatever the judge decided is now law somehow, despite not going through the regular process that most political laws have to do. But even then, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The number of laws that exist can't be counted. Nobody can count them. There's so many that people have tried, and like there's just so many of them that you'll die before you can count them all. Even a computer can't count them all.
Yep. Yeah. It's an incalculable number, and I've actually got a quote on that. But it's going to take me just a second.
The number there's no any system should have a mechanism with which to purge useless stuff. Right? When you have a new software program released, you got to upgrade from the old version. Mm-hmm. It gets rid of all the junk code that was there prior in order to make it a better product. The mechanism known as law enforcement has no such purging mechanism. It's got no ass. Can't take a dump. It can't relieve itself. So it just becomes more bloated and bloated and bloated until everything's illegal and people literally commit, on average, 3 felonies per day. That's your average law-abiding citizen just going through life. 3 felonies a day.
And people don't believe that, but if you have a can of bug spray and you don't follow the instructions on it to the letter when you use it, you just committed a federal crime. You know, if you put your prescription medication in a little vial that you carry on your keychain, you just committed a federal crime.
Yeah.
And if they like you, they're not going to throw you in prison for that. But they don't like me anymore.
If they don't like you and you become their target, you will see truly that the system is a bully.
Yes.
I keep bringing this up. Sometime back a decade, 15 years ago, government themselves went on sort of this social justice campaign about bullying, specifically bullying children in schools and stuff like that. And, like, it's not okay to bully. They had all these, like, PSA ads.
No, that's
all
what
over.
They do professionally.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they conveniently left their own organization out when they did all this targeted anti-bullying campaigns and could possibly be one of the reasons you don't continue to see anti-bullying public service messages from governments. Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just say that this is, it's a machine. It's a money-making machine. It's a self-preserving machine. It needs humans to, you know, keep the
victimized.
Money coming in. Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right. Hey, Rob, thanks for the call tonight. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. This is so ridiculous. I'll post the link to this story on all of our social media sites, of course. And you can find out more about that over at social.freetalklive.com. I do want to move on because, well, we know that police and, well, government in general, that's the organization type known as government, exists in violation of consent. That is to say that violence and coercion, that is the threat and use of violence, is the state's only tool. That's all it ever does. It only uses coercion. Period.
Well,
so,
I found the quote that I was looking for. So
let's hear it.
Finish your thought. Well, this is a quote from a character in a book who is a government agent. So speaking from the first person, and he says, "Do you think we want these laws to be observed? We want them broken. There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power the government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws."
Nice.
And that is exactly what they've done.
That's a great quote. So, since we know that the state uses coercion, And violence. I mean, coercion is, you know, the threat and use of violent measures.
Mm-hmm.
How can people, you know, get along? What other ways might there be to influence people? We talk about these all the time here on Free Talk Live, but FEE.org recently did an article. There are 4 ways to influence people's behavior besides coercion. Are you listening, government agents? We know you tune in from time to time. There are better ways to interact with your fellow humans.
There really are.
So I'm just going to skip the introduction here. Blah, blah, blah. In an effort to at least minimize the number of times we ask the government to get involved, if not eliminate them as an organization type completely from our lives, from affecting our freedom, here are four basic ideas for nonviolent ways to influence other people's behavior. Number one, persuasion. What is persuasion?
Persuasion is persuasion is the art of telling a man to go to hell in such a way that he'll that he looks forward to the trip.
Indeed, the simplest way to change someone's behavior without using threats of violence is to persuade them that what they're doing is wrong. If they are taking a drug you don't approve of or making a business decision you consider unethical, it takes very little effort to present them with the evidence and reasoning that shows why they should change course. I know this sounds simplistic, and I know it's often unsuccessful, but that doesn't mean we should simply refuse to try. In the spirit of making coercion a genuine last resort, if not get rid of it all altogether, that's me editing the article here. We owe it to ourselves to at least attempt persuasion first. Now, you know, do you think persuasion was attempted in the case we were talking about in the first hour?
I am not persuaded that it was.
And trying doesn't just mean making the first argument that pops into our heads. It's about becoming the best persuaders we can be. Have you tried finding common ground with the person or identifying their moral foundations? Have you looked for possible compromises? Persuasion can be far more effective than we think if we take time to get good at it. If you need more persuasion about how evil the organization type, the coercive organization type known as government is, I suggest you plug the following word into your favorite search engine. Democide, D-E-M-O-C-I-D-E, democide. That should really, if you're an evidence person and you want to see the evidence, there's a whole lot of it. There's a whole lot of it if you look up and learn about democide.
Yeah. There were a quarter of a billion victims of democide in the last century, and that approaches the number of people who live in the United States, which is 320 million,
yeah.
200, that's a lot of people killed by their own government.
And I want to point out that democide is death by government, for lack of a better way to describe it. If you search it out, there'll be a much longer explanation, but that's sort of the layman's way of referring to it. It's death by government, not including war.
Not including war, and it's generally defined as wrongful death.
Right.
So not including, government agents, who are legitimately defending themselves.
Right. Or somebody else, if that ever happens.
It does sometimes.
Yeah. Number two, we'll come back to number two here on the four methods outside of coercion that you can use. And let's go to the phones. Unscreened caller, what's your name, please?
Oh, Jimmy from Daytona Beach.
Hey, Jimmy, you are live on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi, guys. You're making these intellectual arguments here, but don't you realize that people don't think out here? Let me give you an example. You ever hear of the movie Anger Management?
Yes.
There's nobody going to read the book of Anger Management that has anger. That's only written to people that don't have anger. You're making an intellectual plea here, and there's no intellectuals that are listening.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, at some point somebody could get off an airplane and get into a rental car that's tuned to the station that we just happen to be broadcasting on, because this is a nationally broadcast radio program on something like 170 or 180 radio stations plus the internet. So we don't know that we don't have intellectuals listening.
Yeah. Although I'll tell you, the first prophet of my church is Robert Heinlein, And he said that it's far easier to convince a man with emotional argumentation than ever to convince him by logic and reason.
Yeah, and you are absolutely correct there, Jimmy. You can find evidence of this by any political presentation on television. Like anytime you see, you know, a mayor, news conference, a president, a secretary of state, anybody giving a news conference, right? You can see and tell that they always play to the viewer's feelings, never to their intellectual capacity to use logic and reason.
Mm-hmm. So you're counting up to four here, honey.
I'm a musician. That's all the higher people, I can go.
Half the people in this country can't count to two. Didn't you realize that? When you walk down the street, half the people I look like there's zombies. That's 50% of the country.
Yeah.
And 50% of the other people that can think don't listen to your program. Right. So who's left?
Well, who's left are the people who still want freedom in their lifetime, who still want to act, humanely with their fellow human beings on planet Earth. And in order to do that, that minority of people, I think, should gather in one place. The place that I chose was New Hampshire. They started something here with the Free State Project, and that has grown into a much larger freedom movement. People are moving here every day, every week, every month, to the tune of thousands. The goal was to get 20,000 people here to act independently and to figure out how to have a place where freedom-oriented individuals can go. And thank you for the call tonight, Jimmy. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number here at Free Talk Live if you want to join us.
He does remind me of what George Carlin said, which is, always keep in mind that half of the people you meet are below average. And that's kind of by definition. But it's true. As a matter of fact, the way he put it is, imagine how stupid the average person is, and then consider that a full half of them are stupider than that.
More stupid than that, yep. That is a fact. You know, there's a few people, as I get older, that I wish were still alive. George Carlin, top of that list. I wish he were alive to just do one more special about the last decade or so, since he left us, because that would be spectacular. People often ask those questions about, like, name a person alive or dead that you would, blah, blah, blah. Carlin is at the top of my list for sure.
Yeah. Although he also, gave up the opportunity to disappoint us, because I've been disappointed by a lot of the people that I looked up to back in the day.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Like when Dee Snider decided with COVID that they're just going to take it.
Going to lay down and take it. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. We'll continue with the methods of persuasion besides coercion.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Former President Trump delivered the keynote speech tonight as the Conservative Political Action Conference comes to a close.
The sinister forces trying to kill America have done everything they can to stop me, to silence you, and to turn this nation into a socialist dumping ground for criminals, junkies, Marxists, thugs, radicals, and dangerous refugees that no other country wants.
Flight delays and cancellations are being blamed on winter storms across parts of the country. According to FlightAware, more than 700 flights have been canceled and over 1,800 delayed today due to strong winds and heavy snow. Boston's Logan International Airport scratched more than 100 flights as of noon today. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is worth $161 million to anyone who correctly picks all six numbers. Dave Collins, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live, the telephone number here in the studio tonight is 603-283-6160. That's not just tonight, that's the number to the studio all of the time. This show runs 7 days a week, with the exception of yesterday. I had a thing, nobody had a thing, and the things kind of, you know, did battle, and well, the listeners lost. But we're here, you know, most of the time, 7 nights a week, 99.9% uptime, if you will. That's software speak for a lot. 7 nights a week, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. FreeTalkLive.com is the website. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nobody.
And some of you have wanted to support us here at Free Talk Live and our mission on a monthly basis, but you don't want to support through Patreon. Well, now we have an alternative that also helps Premier, helps our Premier streaming platform, and that platform is Odyssey. Visit video.freetalklive.com and click join at the top of the channel. You can subscribe for $5 a month, and unlike other subscription services, Odyssey adds their processing fee on top, so it'll cost you a little more than $5 per month, but Free Talk Live receives the entire $5 that you actually pledge. Higher donation tiers are available if you are feeling so inspired. You'll get a special membership badge that's only visible in the Odyssey chat room, and if we get enough supporters, we may decide to enable members-only chat. This new subscription method is a great way to decentralize our direct listener support away from just Patreon and also support a libertarian-run business, Odyssey. please visit video.freetalklive.com and click join to subscribe to our Odyssey channel and help support spreading our message around the planet. Please visit video.freetalklive.com and click join today. All right. So we began talking about four ways to influence people's behavior besides coercion. We talked about persuasion. The next one on the list is shame. And just quickly, another way we can influence people's behavior is by shaming them into doing what we think is right. This approach is certainly less palatable than persuasion, but it is not preferable, or is it not preferable to coercion? Of course it is. It's nonviolent. It's voluntary. It is certainly preferable than, more preferable than coercion. There are many examples of how to shame and social pressure more broadly can be used to influence people's behavior. For instance, many people in our culture save sex for marriage, not because they think it's wrong to have sex outside of marriage, but just because there's a social stigma surrounding it. There's also social pressure to be polite and have good manners, to run your business ethically, and to avoid foul language.
Whenever people talk about shame, it makes me think of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of my favorite quotes from it is, There's a scene where Buffy says to a character named Cordelia, "Have you no shame?"
Mm-hmm.
And Cordelia says, "Oh, please. Like shame is something to be proud of."
Sometimes it's a person's personal ethics that prompts them to do these things, but sometimes it's just the fear of being shamed if they don't. Humans are very social creatures. We want to be accepted by our tribe. So if you want someone to change their behavior, remember that a little social pressure can go a long way. And we'll continue with this list of four ways other than coercion for you to influence, well, anybody really. But we've got some calls to take. Let's go to this unscreened caller. You are on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
My name is E. Pluribus Unum.
Hello, E. Pluribus. What is on your mind? You're live on the air right now.
Okay, the best way to influence people is to hypnotize them with the hypnotic media that is being listened to right now.
This is CNN, even though it's not.
Yeah, the media is hypnotic and in control of what people say and do and think.
Yeah.
But people don't know that.
Yeah, I made a decision. I made a decision, I don't know, man, more than a decade ago, 12, 15 years ago. I made a personal decision. You know, the internet influenced this decision, of course. I made a personal decision to consume media on purpose, right? Now, that's a little different than what most people do. Most people are fed media, right? They get home from, you know, their work or whatever, and they go to their living room, turn on the TV, and then watch whatever gets fed to them. Maybe they got their favorite channel or their favorite news program or whatever. They allow information to be fed to them. I don't do that. I go home after my day of work or whatever.
The media does it. The transmission of your voice does it. That hypnotizes them. It's not what they're watching. It's what's being broadcast and how it imprints on their brain.
Sure.
So how can you know if you're not hypnotized or not?
That is a good question. Nobody? How do you know if you're not hypnotized?
You notice that everybody else is?
I think so.
Because, see, they give you a suggestion, and that's the trigger, and then, bam, it happens, you know.
Well, they say to see the farm is to leave the farm. And the best analogy I can think of is that you as a human being, we as human beings, are, at least according to the organization known as government, tax cattle, right? We are cows who bear milk. The milk, of course, is our life's effort, right? Now, that's represented currently by money, right? So the government wants to take as much of that as they can, but they, much like domestic farmers, found out, like, I don't know if you know this.
Do you know what the name of the government is?
I'm sorry?
Do you know the name of the government? What is the name of the government? Do you know what their name is?
You tell me.
The name of the government is the United States of America.
Well, that's the name of the government that claims that I'm their property, yes.
But it's an English organization, and it's a temporary one.
Well, maybe over the course of history, I hope that is true. I hope that it is a temporary organization.
Well, Thomas Jefferson said that history is the proof.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with you, man.
So how about
more to that?
You
quote?
Ask me a question. Yeah, well, it all depends. But see, how about you tell me what you want me to tell you, because I know.
Yeah, I'll ask you a question. So many folks have no idea that your name that you stated, E Pluribus, has a part missing. It's E Pluribus Unum. Unum, depending on how you want to pronounce that. It appears on most of the U.S. money. You want to tell folks what that is, where it comes from, what it means?
Well, on the back of the $1 bill is a corporate contract, and it's between England and a citizen whose name is E Pluribus Unum, and it's an open, volunteer, already appointed position for a citizen with the same name.
Okay.
But see, nobody knows this because the government quit teaching it to us in 1863. That's when they changed the Constitution and the rules of the election. Right. See, my great-great-grandfather sold the gun to John Wilkes Booth that shot Lincoln. So, therefore, I know stuff that people don't know because it's a part of my family history.
Hmm. Well, I'm surprised he didn't come out with Sic Semper Tyrannis, if you were going to give us some Latin.
Well, see, the name itself isn't that it's Latin. It was the name that was chosen by the owner of the land. The person that owned America was the King of France.
Mm-hmm.
And it got invaded by England. And it was the New World, what we call America. And so all this stuff happened, and I know all this stuff about the government that people don't know. So what is your question? What would you like to know about the Constitution or the Declaration or the people or their rights? Because I know the real stuff.
I mean, I think I know enough, right? And that is just to say, like, I'm not a scholar of law. I'm not a scholar of the Constitution. Nobody here is much better at bringing up, like, dates of history than I am, right? That's not a forte of mine, but, like, I think I know enough to know that the Constitution and all of the laws that have spawned as a result of it are a poor, barbaric method, an ancient, devious, murderous method of managing people. And
it's an English document, and people aren't in it. Only government officials who are elected. They're the only ones that are in the Constitution, because the Constitution is the Constitution of the government that's named the United States of America.
Sure.
And the entity that hired them was the Republic Nation of America and its representative. That was Thomas Jefferson.
Hmm. All right, so here's a question for you.
You got a bad deal.
Yeah. Here's a question for you, then. The Constitution, how come it has not been able to prevent the behemoth empire that exists today?
Because it's based upon events and not words, and our history has been altered, and people don't realize that The Democratic Republican Party is the grand old party from England, and they don't represent us. They represent England, and the American people have no rights because they're not in the Constitution of the government. All of our rights are in the Declaration. You won't find any of the words freedom, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. All of those are in our national documents of the nation, which are different than the laws of the land that the government and the courts have created.
Right, the Constitution was supposed to be the laws that govern, government.
Hmm. Well, no, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers were hired to amend the Articles of Freedom from the Confederation of French Polynesia or the New World or America, right? But they didn't do their job, and they wrote a different Constitution that was based upon England. So when we had a war with England, when they invaded France, the colonists helped France because they owned the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so did the Indians and the black people. But see, when the King of England surrendered to the King of France, it happened in England. They didn't surrender to the United States government because it never started until 1803. And that is on the 8th Act of Congress, line 10. It says, this is a temporary government because our first representative left the first chair open of the legislative branch. They created the lower two branches
sure.
that are in Washington.
Yeah. Governments like to right? like to say things are temporary all the time. I have a different question for you. I don't know if you were listening to our first hour where we talked about this 25-year-old kid in Utah.
Happened because the police, they go by the county code, and all the counties are English. And to the courts, to the local courts, the laws of the land, they go by the penal code, which is another English document, and the cops were just doing their job, but the guy didn't have any rights, so the cops can do whatever they want. But see, that's separate from how the government works. And people have nothing to do with the government, and the elections that we have, Mr. Obama was the final president. He completed the mission of the president, but they forgot to tell you.
All right. Hey, thank you for the call tonight, E Pluribus Unum. We do appreciate you. Let's move on. We have an unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
Yes, Ed in Utah.
Hey, Ed.
Hi. Very interesting show. A little bit of my background. I've had my times passed with the John Birch Society and the libertarians and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I did
with
sign
which
on with
society,
the Trump sir? Phenomenon. Pardon me?
What was the name of the society you named?
The John Birch Society.
Oh, the John Birch Society. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was briefly a Bircher, yeah, decades ago, and then briefly with the Libertarian Party and what have you. I did sign on with the Trump phenomenon mm-hmm. for several reasons, and it goes a little bit back to that previous caller. Very interesting. Here's my thing with your persuasion argument. The problem with persuasion, we're not out here. We don't really have to persuade others. It wasn't so much a matter of persuading people to adhere to the Bill of Rights. That's where I agree with that caller. The Bill of Rights and the Declaration are distinct, separate, and superior documents to the Constitution. Now, on that part, I agree with you two.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my larger point. What, in my view, for our freedom and our way of life, if you will, as Americans, was what Donald Trump was able to do was bust through like a political combat engineer. And there's a lot of evidence to support that. He wasn't fighting against the Democrat Party. He was fighting against the grand old pukes first. You remember? 17 on that field where he had to beat them before he beat Hillary Clinton. And that was, I view, that's where I disagree with the last caller. That was the last, if you will, legitimate, if you can say that, election, in that they had to wait till 4 a.m. and they couldn't steal Pennsylvania and Michigan, what
yeah.
have you.
Well, let me ask you.
Through there.
Let me ask you, Ed, why do you believe that elections, a glorified popularity contest, why do you believe that whoever wins that election gets to tell everybody else what to do?
Well, that's the thing. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights was set aside by several of the last presidents. I mean, in my lifetime. Here's why. Because you need real politics as opposed to what we look at as philosophical politics with the Constitution, the Magna Carta, etc.
Why do I need that?
Life on the streets. And that's what Trump was able to do. He was able to bust through the Billionaires Club, of which he was one. He busted through, and he put them on notice, and to the point where they had to. He took a lot of arrows for us. He helped reform the GOP, because Rush Limbaugh abandoned the free trade wing of the Republican Party
sure.
and threw them aside and went with Trump. Him and Phyllis Schlafly of Eagle Forum,
yeah.
those two rather mainstream people were needed to, if you will, topple what they had in mind.
I'm not arguing that anything that you're saying is untrue. What I am saying is that it doesn't matter who's in the chair. It's the chair that's the problem. It doesn't matter if Trump's in the chair. It doesn't matter if Obama's in the chair. It doesn't matter if Carter's in the chair. It doesn't matter if George frickin' Washington is in the chair. It doesn't matter if nobody here sitting across from me is in the chair. It's the chair that's the problem.
I think it would be a lot better if nobody was in the chair.
I would really love for nobody to tell everybody what they need to do.
Well,
and thank you for the call tonight, Ed from Utah. We appreciate you listening and calling. 603-283-6160 is the number if you would like to join us on tonight's Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. Moving to number three from these four ways to influence people's behavior outside of coercion. We went through number one, which was persuasion. We've mentioned that a few times tonight. Number two, shame. Shame on you, nobody.
Shame on me? What did I do?
I don't know. I just, you know, throwing it out there. Moving on to number three. Well, you didn't win the election, is what happened.
I didn't win the election.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, if I had won an election, I probably would have been ashamed because not many people win elections without doing things that I would be ashamed to do.
Mm, indeed. So number three here on the list of four things, deal making. This one takes a little creativity, but it can open up a tremendous range of possibilities we hadn't even considered. Let's say your neighbor does something you really don't like. Maybe their front lawn is always a mess. It overgrows. There's trash everywhere. And it just looks terrible. Let's say they also have a grievance with you. Maybe you just painted your garage door and they hate the color. Well, now, you could try to pass a law mandating that they keep their lawn a certain way, and they might try to pass a law mandating what color you can paint your garage door. Neither of these are solutions that you should explore, in my opinion. But instead, what if you got together and you made a deal? If you keep your lawn according to these standards, I'll paint my garage a color that is more to your liking. You sign a contract, such as a restrictive covenant, for example, or just have an agreement with your neighbor, and boom, problem solved. No government required. It won't always work out this way, of course, but again, the question is, have you at least tried making a deal? Have you thought to exchange value with your neighbor? Too many people, and I'm going to use the word knee-jerk again, knee-jerk into using the state as their response.
That's not a word, that's a phrase.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. If you just eliminate the space and write it all, it could be one word. We could change it. I'm confident. You know, if ginormous can be a word, right, that's a portmanteau.
Can ginormous be a word?
Of course it can.
Well, we need to find a good portmanteau of knee-jerk. And it's hard because they're both one-syllable words, so they're not easy to contract.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe we should do that on the portmanteau section of Beard Talk Live tonight.
Yeah, maybe. If our brains will it.
I do have a word. I brought a word to introduce you to.
Oh, really? For Beard Talk Live tonight?
I did.
Okay, all right. Beard Talk Live at 10:30 p.m., about a half hour after this show, Free Talk Live, comes to conclusion. It is an extension.
That's when we tell you what we really think.
It is an extension of this show, but it is online only over at watch.freetalklive.com or video.freetalklive.com. And it is uncensored because it's online only, so that means that nobody and I can use foul language. So,
and we do.
Personal discretion is advised, but it's not necessarily required.
Yeah, I mean, if you're too wimpy to hear it... We're just as happy not to hear from you.
So have you tried making a deal? If you're really keen on avoiding coercion, but you can't stand someone's choices, you might even consider paying them to change their behavior. Hey, it's worth $20 a month to me to keep your lawn nice, you might say to your neighbor. Some might call that a bribe, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. As Murray Rothbard keenly points out...
I'd rather bribe a man than beat him.
F and A. As Murray Rothbard keenly points out in Man, Economy, and State, a bribe is only payment of the market price by a buyer. The point is, people can be convinced to do or not do an awful lot if there's something in it for them. And,
oh, yeah.
And that just plays to human incentive, right? Humans respond to a few incentives rather well. The financial incentive... they respond to very well. If there's some way for them to profit in a scenario, if there's something in it for them, they respond very well.
One of my favorite things to say to people who complain about, you know, some people who you know, work hard and get more than their fair share, they say. And I say, well, you know, there's two ways to introduce, to influence somebody's behavior, basically. Now, he comes up with four, but I think you could fit both of those into these two ways, which are the carrot and the stick.
Yeah.
And if you show me a society where nobody's getting more than their fair share of carrot, I'll show you a society where somebody's getting more than their fair share of stick.
That is a scientific fact. yeah, the problem outside of, you know, the chair, right, outside of having a king, one person to rule you all, right, it's a horrific idea. Why should any man rule another man? They shouldn't, period. Right?
But just like one ring to rule them all, which I believe was a metaphor for government, it is addictive.
Oh, my precious. Yes.
If you have the pathological personality to want to control people, and that is why the ring of all power must be destroyed, because no one is fit to bear it. Not even nobody.
I couldn't really agree more. Back to incentive, though. One thing governments do not do is use any other version of incentive when it comes to enforcing their edicts.
Well, government is not eloquence. It is not persuasion. It's force, naked force. And like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a cruel master.
Yeah, it is. It's a disease, in my opinion. It's.
I didn't attribute that because I think that the quote is apocryphal, so.
Yeah, but it's still poignant.
It's still good words.
Indeed it is. So people do respond to positive incentives, and they respond far better to positive incentives and voluntary cooperation than they do to coercion. The coercion is the use and threat of violent force. People will only do the minimum under coercion. They will only do what is required of them under coercion. But under voluntary cooperation, mankind often goes the extra mile. Innovation often exceeds expectation when it's voluntary and cooperative instead of, well, wrapped in a veil of coercion. 603-283-6160. More of your calls are coming up tonight on Free Talk Live. And we've got a couple other things in store for you as well.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.